Okay, good morning. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. Let's begin with the Tefillah al-Hadibur, please. Particularly appropriate time to be learning this topic, especially during Bein HaMitzarim, and the time when Bayis Sheni has not been rebuilt. Bayis Rishon, the Golus, was 7 years, something we mention all the time, but now we are in the beginning of the 3 weeks, and the Beis Mikdash, both Bate Mikdash, really, because we quote the Gemara there on Yuma. The Gemara asks, Bayis Rishon lo have be sinas chinim, there was no sinas chinim at the time of Bayis Rishon. The Gemara answers, El b'nei Adam shadokrin ze'adzeh b'charbot shal b'shalot b'charvos shal b'lishonam. These are people who would spear or strike one another with the swords of their tongue. So at the time of Bayis Rishon, they had certain inyanim related to swords of the tongue. At the time of Bayis Sheni, was destroyed, we know, because of sinas chinim. So it's a very appropriate time to be mechazik ourselves. It's a very important topic. Let's begin to Tefillah al-Hadibur. Ribono sha'olam yiratzon fenecha al-racham v'chanim shetizakeni haimu v'chayim l'shmar piyu l'shonim milashen haru v'chilas. Ezaher melidaber afilu alish yachi. V'kol shekein ha'kla yisrael o achilek mehem. V'kol shekein melisraim al-midosub shal kodesh baruchu. Ezar melidaber divay shakar chanufa machokes ka'as. Gaiva. Unas tvarim habanas panim leitzanas v'chadibar asur v'zakeni shalol daber. Kim davar ha'tzarich l'inani gufi v'nafshi v'yu kama asai v'divarai l'shem shemayim amim. Should be every person listens live or online. It should be as chus for an aliyah and hashama for tzvi gershon avasham ben yoav v'chanas. Hashama should have an aliyah, should be made tzayasher and help us in this very holy avoda. And as a, with your permission, continues chus refuah for bracha v'gaya b'srach ha'gut v'besoch she'archalei yisra'ab. So we are in Perek Yud, chapter 10, Baruch Hashem. So we have really accomplished quite a lot in our sefer, in our learning. So if you could please open up to page 142. Okay? Right, is that what you have where we're up to? Page 142? Okay, very good. Tanei HaShmira. So what is this? Like a Tanai, like a condition. The Tanei HaShmira, the Tanaim that are dependent on Chovitz HaShmira. Good morning. So here we go. Page 142. Welcome. Okay. Sheyeda Shetzarech Lishmar Es Pischei Piv. You have to know that you have to guard the openings, the entranceway to your mouth. Kedichsiv, like the Pasuk says, Mi Shochaves Chekecha Shemar Pischei Picha. From the one who lies in your bosom, the one who lies in your breast, that is how you have to guard the opening of your mouth. So he lies right near you, page 142. So the Yetzer Hara lies right there, right by your heart, right by your bosom and your breast, and he's ready to pounce at any moment up to your mouth. And from this, you have to guard the opening to your mouth. So I'm going to quote from the biography of Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Okay. His Talmidim, Rav Pam, personified the quality of Mesinus, the ability to think, speak, and act in a calm, deliberate manner. Under the crushing burden of community issues, he had responsibility to Talmidim, he had needs of so many others, his manner always remained unhurried. Even in a time of great crisis, one could not imagine Rav Pam, even in a state remotely resembling panic or confusion. And if you think sometimes, you know, a mother, a grandmother, Baruch Hashem, a great-grandmother, it's also a person who has many needs and community issues, when you talk about the issues of your home and of your family, and it's not always so calm. And we have to think sometimes of our behavior, even in a time not even of great crisis, but perhaps of great pressure or great deadlines, and there are things that have to be met, and how we should think to ourselves how we behave in such times versus how a person who is able to control his ability to think, speak, and act in a calm and deliberate manner. You cannot even imagine Rav Pam in a state remotely resembling panic or confusion. His every step was taken with purpose. His every word was measured. A Talmud visited Rav Pam late one night and found him that the Rashiv was preparing to leave the house. He explained someone invited him to Avart. It was in Pagas. He attempted to decline the invitation. The call had been persistent, so Rav Pam finally acquiesced, saying he would attend if the car was sent right away for the 20-minute drive to the place where the celebration was being held. It's hard to imagine someone pressuring Rav Pam, right? If he says he can't make it. Look at your face. Like, you can't make it. Okay, so he's going. The Talmud waited with his Rebbe for the car to arrive. It never came. Finally, as the Talmud watched in amazement, Rav Pam glanced at his watch, removed his coat, and said with a smile, "I guess they forgot." We were at a wedding, I think it was last year. I spoke about this after, when it occurred. Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita was there, and it was at the marina. And they were looking for his car for 45 minutes. The valet parking. They could not find his car. He was smiling. He was standing. It wasn't great weather. I don't remember. It wasn't frigid, but And he was just standing there smiling, he gave Shalom Aleichem to anyone who went over to shake his hand. A key to achieving such inner calm is a heightened level of amunah, and a way of life where every moment is dedicated to service of Hashem. Rav Palm had done what he felt was correct. He agreed to attend the var. Whether or not the car arrived was something over which he had no control. Quote, what would be gained now by becoming upset? In one of his shmuzin, Rav Palm quoted the Beis Halevi, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, that's all. Basically, the father of the Brisker Rav, who distinguished between items such as the Torah scroll, Guf HaKadusha, the essence of sanctity, the Guf, and the Tashmishe Kadusha, items such as the mantle, which merely serve the sacred object. So you have the sacred object itself, and then you have items that serve the sacred object of the Guf Kadusha, which is the object, and the Tashmishe Kadusha, which serves, like from Shamash, which serve the Kadusha. The Beis Halevi writes, the Jewish soul is like the Torah scroll. The Torah which the Jew studies is inscribed within him, as it says, inscribe them on the tablet of your heart. Pasuk from Mishlei. If a Jew is a living Torah scroll, then he must live a life that reflects this sanctity. And he must ensure at all times his words and actions are befitting those whose essence is Torah. So I'm talking about here about Gedolah. I'm talking about every person. If every Jewish neshama is a Torah scroll, and a Torah scroll, how is it treated? How does it behave, so to speak? That's how we must embody the words of Torah. Palm would say, Shulchan Aruch states, a person is obligated to accord a Torah scroll great honor. It is a mitzvah to set aside a specific place for the Torah scroll, treat it with respect, beautify it very much. If someone desires to bring Torah into his heart, he must clean the place in which it will dwell from the dust of any midara. So in other words, you have to be careful where you put a Torah scroll. That's according to Shulchan Aruch, Yeruday. You have to treat it with respect, a specific place, beautify it. So Palm brings a parallel. This is from his Atara Lamelech, saying that if we are a Torah scroll and we want to bring Torah into our heart, we need to live with the Torah, then you have to clean the place where it will dwell. You must clean it from the dust of Midos Ra'os. Prepare it for honor. Beautiful dwelling place within oneself. Rabbeinu Yonah has already cautioned us, one must first perfect his Midos, so Torah will come to reside within him. Once a distinguished Talmud Chacham, Amar Paragaf, engaged with Palm in a Talmudic debate for quite some time. As their discussion progressed, the scholar became very excited, arguing firmly. Rav Palm never raised his voice. When they finished, the scholar said, Rav Avram, my blood is boiling. You are speaking so calmly. Rav Palm replied, I have worked on this for many years. So we shouldn't think that it's something similarly Rav Moshe, they spilled the ink on his new Gemara, Zechut Tzadikim V'Kadoshim V'Vracha, and Rav Moshe also said, I've worked on this for many years. So we shouldn't think it's something that comes for free, but it is something that is within the reach of all of us. It's something that is possible if we work on it enough. One of the things we did, really on the second to last day of our Israel trip, we took a two-day trip to the north. And the last thing that we did was the Kinara. It was very, very nice. We had an hour and a half or so at the Kinara, the separate beaches. It was beautiful. So me and my daughter were, I didn't tell this here, right? I don't think so. I told her the Shabbos here the other week. So me and my daughter were... together, alone together, and then I went to their side. It was beautiful. It was such a nice, relaxing. The water was so, so, so warm. It was really beautiful. So we went into the change room, and I really love it so very much, but not everything is so clean and necessarily so hygienic, especially a change room on some beach up north by the Kinara. I forgot my water shoes, so I was getting very nervous and very anxious. Like, the floor was really, like, liquid and brown and dirty and like from the sand, and how am I going to change? I was wearing a long jean skirt. My jean skirt's going to get wet. How am I going to put on my bathing suit dry? Everything's dressed. It's going to get wet. It's going to touch the floor. I don't have pool shoes. My sneakers are going to get ruined. I was starting to get very nervous. And Blinator, Hashem Yah Azor, there was really no screaming in our house. It's one of the key things that Baruch Hashem, the kids have noted, and they say that compared to other houses, there's no screaming in our house. But in order to stay calm, sometimes I lower my voice to a certain, I feel very nervous, but I'm not screaming. Anyway, so I was really like in the beginning freaking out a lot. It's me and my daughter's changed my dinner. How I'm going to change? How I'm going to get to the beach? I don't have water shoes. Everything's going to get wet. It's gross. The facilities aren't clean. So my daughter says to me, she had just turned 16, Baruch Hashem. She says, Mommy, you're using your stressed out voice and I don't like it. And you have to say, I wasn't angry at her, at anybody. I wasn't screaming. I was in control, but to stay on that level, my voice like changes, and the kids know. And sometimes she says, you know, sometimes I would rather you scream than use that voice, which we're not going to, chas v'shalom. But the point is that someone who is total inner calm is always in that place of clear menuchas nefesh. You recognize that you're housing a Torah scroll. Where is the makom for the Torah scroll? And your midos must be absolutely perfect, because every person, every Jew, is housing a Torah scroll, and it's something that we have to work on. Rav Pam, you know, that person in the argument said, "My blood is boiling," and you have never raised your voice. And he says, "I worked on this for many years." Similarly with Moshe. So it's something we can attain. Okay. Let us go. There was a great line right at the end of Family First. You get any chance of Family First on the Shabbos?
Yeah, you want me to get it?
Yeah, is it a tircha?
No, I need to see if I have.
Do you know where it is? Right at the end of Family First, you know, the last page, I always have a quote from an article from Family First. It was very good. Alyssa could find it quickly. Otherwise, I don't want to be matriach. Oh, perfect. Okay. Greatness is when you do something lovingly and happily, even when it's not your natural inclination. Why? Because you've made the conscious decision that this is what Hashem wants from you at this minute. It's tremendous. I actually cut it out and put it over my desk. Greatness is when you do something lovingly and happily, even when it's not your natural inclination. At that moment, you do not feel loving. You understand. You don't feel happy. You might not feel calm. You might not feel serene, but you've made a conscious decision recognizing this is what Hashem wants from you at this minute. It's a quote from Mrs. Miriam Kosman. Okay, let's go. So, you've got to watch the entrance to your mouth, because he's laying in your bosom waiting to pounce. What do you have to be on guard of? I'm on page 142 in Parak Yod. So you have to go back to the previous chapter. What do you have to guard? The 10 things that we discussed in great detail. Eichus hashmira. The quality of discipline. How? Eich. Meich. How should you discipline yourself? Lim. Oh, this is unbelievable. This paragraph's really... Lima eight. I underlined it, so I lost some of the kudos. Lima eight, ha hischabrus levnei adam. Wow, what is he saying? Don't socialize so much. Okay, hischabrut from chaver, connection, joining, base word of the root for friendship. Lima eight, ha hischabrus levnei adam. Don't associate too closely with so many people. You understand what that means? Diminish your connection and your joining in groups with people. Don't socialize so much. If it's not for the purpose of a mitzvah, if you're absolutely required to become involved, to attach to people, so you have to do a chashvan and nefesh before you get there. You have to pay close attention in your soul. What do you have to think about? What are me and these people going to be talking about? Sometimes you can't avoid. You're going to be in a situation where you are socializing and there are many people there, and it's not necessarily your choice, but it comes up and you have to think to yourself, what are we going to be discussing? So don't wait till you're in the situation and then start planning, how am I going to get out of this? No, beforehand. So this reminded me very, very much of what from Pirkei Avos. Yoshua ben Perachya Omer. We are social people. There's only two times in the Torah that it says lo tov. Only twice. Once is in Parak Beis of Bereishis, before Isha is created. The Moshe Shalom famously says lo tov heyos adam levado, eser lo ezer kenegdo. The only other time in the Torah we have the phrase lo tov is in Parak Yud Ches of Shemos, Parshas Yisro. Parsha, this was the Parsha Matan Torah. Perek Yitas begins Matan Torah. Yisum Yisugula Mikol Amim. Sarva Perek Yitchas is when Yisro comes to join the Jews in the desert. And he sees Moshe sitting all day from morning to night judging the people. And Yisro doesn't like this. He says, you're going to become exhausted. You can't manage everyone by yourself. You have to appoint judges, etc. Officers. Lo tov hadavra asher ata osed. Na bol tibol gam ata gam ha'amaze. It's not good what you're doing. The only two times, this is not my own var, my mother forwarded it to many years ago. Actually, it was in an email from the rabbi of Hershul, and it made such a big impression on me. There's only two times it says lo tov unzor. Everything else is tov. You can work through life. Only two things are, only one thing is not good. Alone. A man is alone. Adam was literally alone, so it's referring to a state where man is totally alone, and Moshe was in a state of what we call loneliness. He was surrounded, a person could be surrounded by many people, but you could still be lonely. And that's the only time the Torah says, lo tov. There are many nishonos. It doesn't say by Dina's rape, lo tov. It doesn't say by Yosef's abduction, lo tov. Lo tov is the antithesis of creation. After almost every day of creation, the exceptions with reasons why, almost after every day of creation, it says that Hashem saw what he made, and it was Vayarasar, first thing he created, Kitov. So that means Lo Tov is the opposite, the polar extreme of creation. Hashem created the world to be good, called the Avid Rachman Latav Avid. Everything is good. When man is alone, either literally alone, like Adam, or metaphysically, which we mean emotionally, psychologically, alone, which we call lonely, that's not good. It's a very, very powerful verb. It's tremendously impactful because we have an achrayus to make sure that we can do whatever we can to make sure people are not alone. Just a musar haskel that everybody listening to this year has to somehow take it upon themselves. We all know people who need place for a Shabbos meal. Reach out from yourself. It's not hachnasas archim to socialize with your friends. It's very nice. It's very nice. I'm not saying whatever you choose, that's fine. But we have to keep in mind that there are many people in communities everywhere who are in the state of either alone or in a state of loneliness. And it's a true mitzvah. Gadach nasas archim mikabals pnei shechina. The Chavetz Chaim says, be careful who you socialize. But then we have to balance that out. Because on the other hand, we have an achrayus. Gadach nasas archim mikabals pnei shechina. So there are times when I do have to have yitchabos with other people. You understand? So what should we do? You understand the quandary here? On the one hand, the Chafetz Chaim is going to say, because he's going to say, I'm skipping a sentence, so one second. Kim'ah I avshar, shalo yilachel b'diburim asurim al yadeza. What did he just say? Kim'ah I avshar. It is practically impossible that you will not be ensnared with forbidden speech by his chavrus with other people. So what should he do? On the one hand, shouldn't join with other people. And on the other hand, it's very often a mitzvah to join with other people. Furthermore, we have a need to be with people. Why do we have a need? Because it's from the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem created us with the condition that lo tov is solitude. So it reminded me, I think we could resolve this quandary from Pirkei Avos. I'm in Perek Aleph of Pirkei Avos, the first chapter, Mishnah Vav. Good morning. Yehoshua ben Perachya Omer, Aseh lecha rav, make for yourself a rabbi, ukenei lecha, Chaver. Now, no, chaver is this root word of hischabrus. Acquire for yourself a friend. Vehivedanis called Adam Makavsko. So I'm going to quote from Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch, his beautiful commentary on Pirkei Avos. Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch on Pirkei Avos. Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch, oh, I never saw this before, but until I was preparing for this year, this is so interesting. You know the second Mishnah. The second Mishnah tells us, Shimon HaTzadikai Mishiyare Anshei Knesset HaGadolah Hu Ayomer Shlosh HaDvarim Olam Meid Torah Vodug Mez Chosadim. So this Mishnah tells us three things. Asei Lecha Rav, Knei Lecha Chaver, Heiwedan is called the Makav Schus. So I don't have a blackboard, but it's very interesting. Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch says these three things correspond to the three things on where it was held. When I was preparing, oh, that's so nice. I actually exclaimed, I never saw this. The injunction Asei Lecha Rav corresponds to Torah, but in order to acquire Torah, I have to have a Rav. This coming week's parsha is Moshe Masra Torah Yoshua. The first Mishnah tells us the Masorah. It's this week's parsha where Moshe says, Parshas Pinchas, appoint someone over the people. And Hashem says, we will appoint Yoshua. Put your hands on him, Yismoch Yad Avalav, give him smicha. So in order to acquire the crown of Torah, you have to have a Rav. Okay, so Ukne Lecha Chaver, Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch says that corresponds to Avoda. How? Maybe you have to daven for good friends. I'm not making a joke. No, I'm really not. I don't know. He doesn't, unfortunately, he just writes this in one sentence. Right. But it's a tremendous idea. And finally, Hey Vedan is called the Makav Schus, obviously applies to Shlosh Dvarim Olam Meid. It's a chesed to judge other people favorably. Instead of looking at people with a wicked eye, we just learned about Bilma Rasha, it's a positive midah to look at people with a positive eye and always try and see the good. I thought it was just a beautiful line. That's not even why I was looking at the Mishnah. I was looking at the commentary on the Mishnah because of Knei Lecha Chaver, because we're talking about the dangers of his chabos, but I thought it was a beautiful idea. Provide yourself with a teacher, okay? Bring it to pass that a capable man accepts you as his disciple. So you should be capable and humble enough that someone wants you as a disciple. Interestingly, he doesn't say strive to find a teacher, rather make yourself into a student. Isn't that interesting? Listen to what I just said. Rav Shem Sharif Al Hirsch explains, it's not really fine for yourself a teacher, rather make yourself into a student. It's beautiful. And thus affords you an opportunity to attain spiritual perfection through his wisdom and his knowledge. Now, interesting, we are not told to get ourselves a teacher. It says, Aseh Lecha Rav, but Kneh Lecha Chaver. When it comes to the Chaver, it says Kneh, but when it comes to the Rav, it says, Aseh, not Kneh. So interesting, I just heard of Shai Shechter say in a shir a couple of weeks ago, it was after I came back from Israel. He's a Mesorah from his father, that any rabbi who takes money from you, in order for you to see him, do not see him. Don't go to that rabbi. Stay far away. Any rav who charges you money to go for a bracha, he says, don't go. He said, you don't have to agree with me. Some people feel they want to go anyway. I mean, so why you charge? Anyone could go listen. He says, he has that. I'm sorry, you do not go to a rabbi to shilas, to this. Brachas, they charge you money. Stay away. Why? So listen, we are not told to get for ourselves a teacher. In accordance with Judaism, the Torah should be taught without financial reward. So this is very interesting. Rabbi Jonah Steinmetz in our shul this past Shabbos, very young, up and coming, Talmud Chacham, Talmud of Rav Heschel Shechter, now Rav Meir Tversky, anyway, Rabbi Willig goes away in the summer, Rabbi Jonah Steinmetz gives the shiur. So his afternoon shiur was on teaching Torah for payment. So I really wanted to go to the shiur. So, but I didn't know if I would be able to understand him. He talks quickly for me with a hearing loss. It's not easy to understand every speaker. But when my husband and my son came home, I said, can I keep my day job? It's a joke. Anyway, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, there are many teachers of Torah, but it's an interesting idea. One thing that he said is, interestingly, sometimes there's a horashah. You need to do something wrong in order to do something right. What does that mean? He says, to Rabbi Jonah Steinman said, Torah Shabbat Peh was not meant to be written down. That's why it's called Torah Shabbat Peh. In fact, it was not allowed to be written down. It was also to write it down. So why did they write it down? Because Chazal became afraid that if we don't write it down, what's going to happen? Torah will be lost. Without Torah Shabbat Peh, we're no people. You can't learn only Torah Shabbatav. Lahavdil, the Christians hold. Lahavdil, of dollars, they hold of the Testament, the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can't have Torah Shabbatav without Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Chachamim were afraid that if we do not write it down, what's going to happen? It's going to be lost. But it's actually forbidden to write it down. But they wrote it down because they realized that that need superseded the need of not writing it down. So that's one of the interesting answers that he gave, which I thought was very interesting. If we don't have paid teachers of Torah, then people aren't going to be teaching Torah, then what's going to happen?
They'll be lost.
They'll be lost. Okay, very, very interesting. This is all these points are so interesting, which is not why I'm even bringing you the Mishnah, but they were so interesting. Here we go. A chaver, a friend and companion in life, on the other hand, must be a helper and counselor at our side in our work. In our endeavors, we must win him by way of accommodation, association, and empathy. Hence, we are told, teacher, and friend, these appellations, teacher and friend, Rav and Chaver, represent the highest level on which we can cherish another human being. The highest level on which we can cherish another human being is our teacher and our friend. And as a rule, there are only a few whom we are able to so designate. When you think about it, how many friends does a person really have? I'm not talking about the acquaintances. I'm not talking about everybody you know in the supermarket. I'm not talking about everybody who fills your simcha. I'm talking about how many chaverim, chaveros, does a person really have? Aseh Lecha Rav, by the way, is in the singular. And so is chaver. Because it's a truism in humanity that there are not so many friends. We know many, many people. The Chavetz Chaim is saying you have to be very careful. Because you know so many people, it becomes very dangerous. Yeah. Even if there are only a few people chosen for and biased to whom we can feel so close. Now Rosh Hashanah Shavuot is going to say, what does the end of the Mishnah have to do with anything? The end of the Mishnah said, Hei Vedan is called Adam Akav Schus. So what's the connection between the beginning of the Mishnah and the end of the Mishnah? Even though you have only a few people to whom you will feel so close and who feel so close to you in return, nevertheless, for all those other people, we must not be so harsh as to be quick to judge. Certainly, we must not be so arrogant as to seek to keep aloof from them. We should keep best possible opinion of all men. We should be as charitable as possible in our judgment of them. My husband heard Rav Heschel Shechter Shlita say, Hey, Vedanet Kol Adam Kaf Sechus is Bidiyavet. Lechat Chila, we should never be done anybody at all. You shouldn't be judging other people. So it's Bidiyavet. So once you start judging them, now turn to Lechav Sechus. But Lechat Chila, says Rav Heschel Shechter, you shouldn't be judging them in the first place. So why do I think this Mishnah is so important? Because we just learned from the Chavetz Chaim that you should really limit his hashabus of Bnei Adam. You should be alone. Try not to associate too much with so people. If you absolutely have to, says the Chavetz Chaim, then you have to start making cheshbonos and disponing. But nefesh, what are you even going to talk about? So the issue is, on the one hand, we should not join with people. On the other hand, it's not good for a man to be alone. So the question boils down to, who do we choose as our friends? What is the quality of our friendships? Think about what you talk about with your friends. It tells us if that's a true chaver who brings us up, or if chas v'shalom, it's not a true chaver, but it's a re'acha from Shoresh Ra, somebody who might be bringing you down. There are only asei lecha chaver, kanei lecha chaver. It's in the singular, just like asei lecha rav. And we have to think, we take an etzer from here. A person needs that friend, needs that chibur. The question is, how is the quality of our friendship? Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau quotes, a colleague is vital, this is in his Yachar Yisrael commentary to Pirkei Avos, a colleague is vital for leading a proper life. So you do need to have somebody in your life who anchors you, who gives you advice, a sounding board, a person with whom you can talk to, befriend, make connections with. You do need that, says Rabbi Shlomo Meir Lau. A colleague is vital. A colleague, he means chaver, for leading a proper life. A colleague, quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, helps a person progress in the service of God and in performing mitzvahs. And that's why you said, okay, you have to be ma'et hishabus. So you have to question the people who you are mechaber with. What is the quality of that friendship? Think about when you're with your friends, what do you talk about with them? What's a topic of conversation when you're sitting at the Shabbos table, when it's not classic achnasas arachem, when it's socializing company? What do you talk about at the table? A friend, why is a friend so important? Our friend whose rebuke is gentle, whose word is kind, who can utter pleasantly, can dissuade a person from engaging in unworthy behavior. So here we're talking about having a friend who will bring you up in Avodas Hashem, not down. Sweeter is a friend than taking counsel with oneself, says King Shlomo in Mishlei. A friend can see things from a fresh perspective. A friend can offer wisdom and sympathy as an objective onlooker. A friend can be a source of comfort and share burden in times of trouble. So we have to put an addendum to the words of the Chafetz Chaim. It's true that we should be ma'at his chabros. You have to be very careful socializing with large groups of people, but we should not think, like we said, lo tov heyos adam levado. It's only two times in the Torah that it says that. We shouldn't think that a person should absolutely be isolated all the time. In fact, Chazal come along and prick us and they say, you should have a friend. So the question is, what is the quality of my friendships? Continuing with Rabbi Lau, interesting. In his commentary on the Mishnah, the Rambam, so Rabbi Lau is quoting the Rambam, Rabbi Lau is quoting the Rambam. The Rambam lists three types of relationships. This is in his commentary on the Mishnah. The first and most common is a utilitarian relationship. It is a connection, hitchabrut, between two people because they seek to gain some practical advantage. It's a shallow relationship based on self-gratification, whether it's because of financial dealings, shared superficial in stress, and so forth. This is what our sages referred to as a love dependent on the matter. When love is dependent on the matter, it will not endure. The Mishnah talks about that much later. The second type of connection, so the first one is very superficial, self-gratification, even if it shared superficial interest. It's not a deep connection. I don't know, two people like the same Hollywood star. Okay, so they cut out the same clippings from the newspaper and they follow him on Twitter. I have no idea how that works, but I think that's what you could do. They follow him on Twitter or Facebook and they like how he looks and they want to know about him and his life. Chas v'shalom, I don't think this applies to anybody at this table, but that's a very superficial type of relationship. What's your relationship based on? Some person who's parading around Hollywood as a famous person. So what is that? That's utilitarian. You have self-gratification. The second type of connection is a deeply satisfying relationship of a long-term connection. So a relationship in which one's needs are met. For example, the love of a husband and wife, or a relationship between friends who have full confidence in each other. You can pour out your heart knowing that you have someone upon to rely. The third highest type of connection is an elevated relationship. Two people share a spiritual goal and they depend on each other to attain that spiritual goal. This is the only love that will never dissipate. It is this last kind of love that our Mishnah refers to. So perhaps that's also why it's in the Siddur, because there are not so many friends with whom you attain that highest degree of relationship when you help each other move up, so much so that your spirituality and your spiritual well-being depends on the other person to attain it. Okay, so let's go back to this this Nekuda Gimel of the Chofetz Chaim. And start from the beginning of the point. Echos HaShmira, now that we've looked at Pirkei Avos, Echos HaShmira, Lema'ed HaYishchabrus L'vnei Adam. So this is not so pashut, it can be very complicated. We just looked at the Mishnah with commentary. You have to reduce socialization, your connection with people. Im lo ledvar mitzvah. Im hu muchach lehischaber, if you absolutely have no choice and you are forced to connect with people, nisboni mitchila benafsho, maishu daber imahem. You have to think to yourself, what are you going to talk about? I still remember, this goes back imamish years ago, when someone told me that she used to go to the Bungo Colony. I'm not saying this is all about all Bungo Colonies. I've never been to a Bungo Colony. I'm not passing statement. I'm talking about what can happen when you are in a hischabus of people. And this specific person told me that she was there. And they were at the pool one day, and I'm not saying it's only Bungo Colonies, people should understand it could happen at the pool here in Atlantic Beach. Also, it could happen anywhere where there's a regular gathering of people who get together all done. I was told this story, I know the person who told it to me. So she said that they were at the pool one day, and one of the women said, maybe we really shouldn't be talking about Lashon Hara. And one of the other women said, but then what are we going to talk about? Okay? So we really have to think to ourselves, Yisponei mitchil benafsho mashu yidaber imahem. The ikr is, you should not want and strive to not hear anything that is not shayach for you. Why are you telling me this? This is no bearing on my life whatsoever. I gain no information from this. I gain no lesson from this. It's nothing to do with me. It's not shayach. But od tzarich lizaher ma'od, shelo lekabal atzmo shum davar, shegorem harbei hischabus vikuchim tmidim. You have to be very careful as well that you should not accept upon yourself any matter that is going to cause you to have a lot of hischabus, to join with people to hold a joint position in leadership. Kegon misras rabbanus. So in the rabbanus, what happens is, that's not relevant to us, but you often have gatherings where rabbanim are having meetings, regular scheduled meetings, b'shutfus v'kadoma. They get together b'shutfus, they get together in partnerships, and they have to talk about certain issues. Ki kima I afshar shelo yilachei b'diburim asrim al yadeiza. It's almost impossible in a gathering, and here he's talking about distinguished people. This is the Chofetz Chaim talking to Rabbanim in this line. It's almost impossible that at such a gathering or appointed meeting, you will not stumble over forbidden words. V'afilu im ya anav v'savlan biyoser. Even if you are an anav and a savlan, a humble person, and savlan from savlanus, and you're very patient. What?
Says tolerant.
Okay. From Savlanus person, you should still not gather together. So as soon as I read this, it reminded me of a story of Reb Chaim Brisker. We just quoted from the Beis Halevi. The Reb Pam quoted from the Beis Halevi. We're going to quote from his son, Gaonei Olam, Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim attended the first meeting of the Agudah, the Katowice Conference. Okay. However, Reb Chaim Brisker, Zatzal, he simply observed the meeting without saying a word. When asked why he was so silent, he answered with the following parable. A man went into a grocery store. He asked the price of onions. The shopkeeper responded, 10 kopecks. The man asked about the radishes. The shopkeeper said, the price is 10 kopecks. This went on for potatoes, beets, everything in the store. He said, how much is this? And the shopkeeper said, 10 kopecks. The man went over to the shopkeeper's wife, and he said, how can everything in the store be the same price? The woman said her husband only knows how to say one thing, 10 kopecks. Rav Chaim Brisker said he was the same way. He only knows how to say one thing, Divrei Torah. But no one at this convention was saying Divrei Torah. Apparently, this wasn't the topic of the conversation, and so he had nothing to say. They remind me exactly, when I was preparing Shira, of that story of Rav Chaim Brisker. So, Amaisa, we have to be very careful. There are times when we have to get together. What comes to my mind is, for example, a large gathering of people is a simcha. Baruch Hashem, a simcha is a wonderful thing. There are also hundreds of people there. And it's very hard when you sit down at the chuppah, you're going to be stuck next to the tambi, and people are going to start talking. And very often they're talking about the flowers and the band. And it is fancy, it isn't fancy, the dresses, the tzniyas, they're not tzniyas, who you're sitting next to, who's at your table, why do they sit you here? Besides the fact that it's basic derech eretz to be quiet at the chuppah, which nebuch sometimes is so noisy you can barely hear what's going on. Besides that, what are you going to be talking about with people? This is so relevant. It's much more likely, and the Chofetz Chaim says it's almost not much more likely, almost impossible that you will not be ensnared with forbidden words, even if you're an anav. Even if you're a savlan, v'gam shelo yilached mikina. Wow. Furthermore, what other midah will overtake you possibly?
Jealousy.
Go back to the example of the wedding. So much of our lashon hara is because we're jealous. I can't make a wedding like that. I can't have flowers all along the back wall. I can't have such a beautiful gown. I can't have a 20-piece orchestra. I could have a one-man band. I can't serve every meat imaginable at the shmorg. And so what happens? So much of our dibur asur revolves from the midas kina. The Chafetz Chaim is saying it's impossible almost that you will not be snared by the midah of kina. Ka'amram, like Chazal say, Masech Sanhedrin, it's very powerful. B'chol Adam Miskane, Chutz Mibno the Talmido. What does that just say? What does the Gemara say?
You won't be jealous of anyone but yourself.
I can't hear.
You won't be jealous of anybody but
no,
yourself.
No, now you won't be jealous of anybody. B'chol Adam Miskane, you are jealous of everybody.
I'm saying, but you won't be jealous.
Right, but you didn't say the first part. The first part is a person is jealous of everyone. Except for his sons and his talmidim. It's very interesting about Pesach Kohen and one of his magid, the spirit of the magid, splendor of the magid, I don't know, I read all of them. Mm-hmm. No, except the last one that came out. So in one of his books, he says, and I remember when I read it specifically because I told it to my mother, he says, when you accomplish something, do not tell anybody besides for your mother. He says, nobody will really be happy for you. They won't be. They'll be jealous of you. It's a Gemara. That means it's an absolute truism of life. B'chol Adam Miskaneh, a person is jealous of everyone. Chutz mibno v'talmido. The only one we are not jealous of is our children and a person's talmid, because a person invests everything in his talmid. He wants him to grow greater than him, just like a person wants his son to grow greater than him. And Rabbi Pesach Kohen writes, you should not tell anybody your success, only you should tell who? Your mother. It's so interesting. I remember when we were Baruch Hashem in our house for almost 2 years. 2 years minus a month. Chasdei Hashem Olam Mashiach. I remember when we were selling the house and we were just going to contract, there's a time period when nothing is finalized. I remember our real estate agent told us, do not tell, this is a modern day application of what Chazal is saying here in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. She said, from a real estate agent, she said, do not tell anybody. Nobody will be happy for you. And she said, I've seen deals that have fallen through because people start talking about this and they start talking about that. Either the buyer backs out or the seller backs out. She says, don't talk to anybody. She said, no one will be happy with you. That's exactly what Chazar is saying. So Chavetz Chaim is saying, it's very dangerous. On the one hand, it's true. Lo tov heos adam uvada. Lo tov hadavar sha'ata osir nabal tibo gam ata gam ha'avaza. You can't do this. You can't be totally alone. It's not good to be alone. It's the antithesis of what creation was made for. Kal asher asa v'hine tov ma'od. It's good for a man to be alone. But keep in mind that when Chazal say you should have a friend, it's in the Lashon Yachid. Asei lecha rav, uchnei lecha chaver. Because when you're with the multitudes, it's almost 10 kopecks. 10 kopecks. He only knows how to say one thing. 10 kopecks, says Rav Chaim Brisker. I'm the same way. I only know how to say one thing, Torah. The topic of conversation was not Torah, and therefore I had nothing to say. We are in situations all the time, and it's just so practical. It's also so frightening. We're in situations all the time where we are surrounded constantly. You can't even go to the supermarket anymore and not meet people. It's impossible. We're constantly being surrounded by people. And we're constantly meeting people on simchas and shul and gatherings, and we're always socializing. And we need to ask ourselves before, what am I talking about in this situation? What is the quality of my friendships? What does the topic of our discussion surround most of the time when I am with my friends? Is it a person who brings me up? Is it the highest level of his chabrus, like the Rambam says in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, that spiritually I cannot accomplish without that person? Or is it a superficial type of relationship which will ultimately bring me down? And it's something we all have to ask ourselves. We live in a society where, Baruch Hashem, we have a large Jewish community and a large world, because think of online. You have the ability to reach the whole world. We're constantly being bombarded by stimuli and discussion and thoughts of other people. But kol adam miskaneh. So the Chafetz Chaim says, not only will you stumble with kol hadibur and kol hashmira when you're with people, 10 kopecks, but furthermore, you're going to be jealous of somebody there. Al kol panim chovas hashmira kadin bevadai lo yikayim. Lo yikayim, according to every face. Al kol panim. Al kol panim. You know what it means? Certainly, in every situation, when you put yourself into these kinds of situations, chovas hashmir kadin, guarding your mouth like you're supposed to, according to law, bivadai lo yikayim. It's impossible. Rapam used to say, Zatzal, that the most dangerous hour of the year is, who remembers? We've quoted before. Beautiful. When you leave shul on Rosh Hashanah. That's the most dangerous hour of the year. That's when Hashem is the din. He's sitting on din. That is coronation day, says Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day we crown God king and dayan. We're not so far. It's the middle of Tammuz. I'm out. The most holy day of the year. You just uttered all these tefillahs and then you come to the shul. And Rapam says, very nice, you remembered. You start talking about the Baal Tefillah, Baal Korah, the Baal Tokeya, the rabbi's sermon, the davening was too long, it was too short, what was the rabbi talking about, I couldn't understand anything, did the Baal Tokeya blow a shofar anywhere, person sitting next to me, the new dress, the new shoes, so that's the most dangerous hour. So it's very, very relevant, it's very powerful, and something we should all really, in these next couple of weeks, we're in Bein HaMitzarim. And something we need to think about. Do our friendships lead, chas v'shalom, to sin as chinim of others? Are we those who are dokrin zeh et zeh b'charvot shebelishonot, which was the cause of the destruction of Bayis Rishon? We need to ask ourselves, are we rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, or are we redestroying the Beis HaMikdash? And it's very, very relevant. Irrelevant but permissible. This is extremely interesting. Listen to this, because we've discussed this before, not from the Sefer. In the cases discussed so far, the determining factor making it permissible to listen to negative information was relevant. If the information is important in a constructive sense for the listener to hear, he should give his attention to when it is spoken, and he can solicit some information. He's reviewing everything that we've said so far, which is that until now, the information that had to be said was for to'eles. You had to meet certain criteria, but once you met the criteria, it was permissible to say, because there was to'eles, business relationship, Rabbi Talmud, Shidduch, we spoke about these things. There are times, and I was smiling when I read this, there are times when halacha permits listening to negative information, which is of no relevance to the listener. And the speaker feels the need to express his anger or frustration. We've quoted this from Rabbi Weitz. And the speaker feels the need to express anger or frustration. He needs relief of emotional pain. You are doing an act of chesed by hearing the person out and allowing him to express his feelings and to validate those feelings, express understanding of his feelings. And I don't know if anyone remembers, but I told you a little while ago, I have a friend who's going through a very difficult thing, and she said that she was on the phone with another person, and the minute she started to unburden herself a little bit, the friend cut her off immediately and said, Sashna, I don't want to talk about this, but I'm not talking about someone who's like a little insulted by the cashier and the grocery store. She had a negative experience at the doctor's office, like in a very superficial way. I'm talking about someone who's really like and a terrible piece of pain. You know, when she started talking to the friend immediately, holier than that, I don't want to hear about this. Lashon Hashkav. And it exacerbated her pain. She felt even worse. And I, at the time, I actually told her it's wrong. I quoted from Rav Tali Weitz, but you're seeing that it's wrong. You are doing a chesed to hear the person out. And that's also something you need a chaver for. Because who are you going to unburden yourself to? Say a chaver, but keep in mind, we're reiterating, it's Lashon Yachid. It doesn't say go socialize with 100 people. Go socialize with 50 people. Go socialize with 10 people. Have your close, good friend who you know can hear you out, can help you, can elevate you, will be there for you. If the listener feels the speaker can be made to understand how misjudged the person responsible for his frustration, he's obligated to do so. So in other words, if you can show that it wasn't so, you're the achaver, they obviously trust you. They came to you for to'alas. What was the to'alas? The to'alas was simply, it's not so simple, to unburden themselves. Why? It goes back to lo tov hayos ha'adam levado. You need that. What was isha? Ezer kenegdo. But if you can be made to show the speaker that perhaps you were misguided or misjudged, maybe it wasn't as bad as you think, in a way that will not invalidate their feelings or make them feel worse, then you are obligated to do so, okay? So like Rabbi White said, it's not a blanket heter. Right? It doesn't mean we can now be a person who's always listening to Lashon Hara. Nobody should think that based on what we are saying. Often, however, a person expressing his frustration is in need of empathy, and that's open to logic. Right? You should not don't offer comfort when the mace is right before the person. So, Chalila, a person should never know. Don't go into a shiva house and say, everything Hashem does is for the best. That's not exactly the right time to be saying that to the person, but we can also understand it in a non-literal sense. When a person is feeling as if he has just been killed, and we know that words, we've spoken about it here, words can be akin to murder. If a person feels in a very difficult place, and this is not the time to logically start showing them all the reasons why it was for their best. At this time, you should really just be listening. And this is extremely important, akuda. It's a chasad. We just started. Shlosh ha'dvarim ha'olam omeid. Hei v'dan is called the makaf schus. Says Rav Shem Sharfal Hirsch. It's parallel too. Beautiful. Gminas chasadim. So at the same time that you're listening and that you have in your mind that I'm doing a chesed, the only reason I'm listening to this is do a chesed. The only reason I'm doing this is mutter, it's a mitzvah to do so, and I understand I'm doing a chesed by allowing this person to burn themselves. You also have to remember, if it's done, it's called a makav schus, that you're not allowed to believe what is being said about the other person while you are allowed to listen. At a later point, once the speaker has calmed down, in the moment of extreme agony, do not try then to come up with all your chachmas. They don't want to hear right now why it was for the best and how you misunderstood and Hashem loves you so much and you're his favorite daughter. This is not the time. At a later time, after the situation has calmed down, the listener should try to approach him, attempt to explain how he may have understood the situation. So, Be'ezras Hashem, very relevant learning today. Very impactful, necessary learning today. Hashem should help us understand that when we must be in a gathering of people, we have to choose very, very carefully. And when it comes to our friends and our socialization, we should really all think to ourselves, always, but certainly, Beinu Mitzarim, what is the quality of my friendships? What is the topic of conversation on my friendships? Are we people who bring each other up? Or Chalila, are we people who Chalila the other way? As was Hashem, B'derech Shadam Motzei Leich, B'Amolichin Oso.